Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 53, On the Way Again, number 5. Today is Friday, June 27th, 2008. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos. I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's message was originally recorded January 6th, 1985, and it runs close to 90 minutes. So we're just going to get right into the message. First, a few quick announcements. One is be sure to call the comment line, which is 1-715-808-0318. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, give me a call. Also, you can go to the blog, which is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, and subscribe to the podcast, and that way it will be sent to you. Or you can also make a comment at the blog. And again, you'll see show notes there, which will have links to the scriptures and Pastor Paul's messages. Or you can send me an email, janine@pastorpaul.org. Be sure to send any kinds of comments, questions, or suggestions to me either by email or the comment line. Again, that's 1-715-808-0318. Maybe you have a testimony that you'd like to share with us on the podcast. You can also go to www.pastorpaul.org and you'll see our one-page website, soon to be more. It's taking us a little bit of time, or I should say me a little bit of time, to do our new website. I've got some ideas, kind of putting some things together. Basically, we want it to be a very interactive website, and so that when you come to the website, you'll be able to not only get the information that you're looking for about Pastor Paul's mission, about the podcast, the blog, and other interactive links. Again, if you have any questions or any comments or suggestions about the website, be sure to send me an email. This message is very good. It is a lot dealing with us as individuals, so a lot about us, and a lot of it has to do with what is natural, and he compares what is natural, such as is sin natural, and he talks about that. He also makes some statements, one of which is, evil is always evil. And sometimes you'll hear someone say, well, that's not so bad. But according to the Lord, you know, evil is always evil. So there's no getting around that. And Christ is the author of life. So if he's the author of life, you want him to possess you so that your life is in him. And he says, I am the truth, the way, and the life. So that is his acknowledging that he is life. And so Pastor Paul talks about self-regarding and other-regarding, and that it's natural in Christ to be other-regarding. It's not natural to be self-regarding. So really good there. He talks about three different attitudes there are about the soul. One is that it's natural to be a Christian. One is that it's natural to be a pagan. And one, it's natural to be half and half. So you have to listen to hear the outcome of that. A little bit about personal branding. He talks about us always trying to sell ourselves to other people, talking about our friends, how sometimes our friends can be so important to us and can get us off track. So a great message. It runs long. So without further ado, here it is, Pastor Paul's message, On the Way Again, number 5. Be sure to visit us next Friday as well for episode 54. Until then, have a great week. God bless you.
Today's message is entitled, On the Way Again, number 5. Friday night, we ministered On the Way Again, number 4, and that without having the Holy Spirit, everything would fall apart. Whew. When the rapture comes, there's no divine guidance. Everything is going to fall apart. Even the non-Christians, we said, know this, that without Jesus Christ, morality in the community, would be impossible. To run a business with no morality, no in all of the city, in all of this state, where there was no morality at all, would be impossible. Because you see, the life structure rests upon a thing called character, something that we're fast losing in this world. Character, strong leaders, strong go-aheads, strong thoughts from the Lord. Are you hearing this? You see, if the character breaks down, the confidence of the country breaks down. And if the confidence of the country breaks down, it breaks down the communities all around. And when the communities break down, the whole structure falls, the whole country falls, and that's what's happening right now. The structure is beginning to crumble. It's built upon the wrong foundation. We're very, very close to the coming of the Lord. Oh, how we need to be on the way, all the way. Even when you don't feel like it, be on the way, all the way. Oh, it's crazy to get off the way. Well, you say, is the Christian way part of our inner makeup? Yes. Yes, it is. And it's the easy way. Well, I know people have tried to go the other way, probably even this week. And where have they ended up? In a nervous. Well, how do you know that, Pastor Paul? I tried it myself. And now, like I say, I only go a minute or two that way and I find out. I know. I'm catching on. And when I get uptight and I get nervous, I'm off the way one way or the other. And so, yes, I'm finding out the Christian way is in my inner makeup. And it is in people that aren't even saved. They don't know it yet, but it's really inside there. Well, you say, does the Christian way agree? Yeah, it does. Like boats in water, like trains on a track, like blood in your veins. Or is it weird, or is it off? Is it against nature? Well, the world is living theirs, and it's not working. Take a look out there. They're living their way, and it's not working. Even Christians get off the way, and they go off into some other way. Does it work? No, it does not work. See, because if anyone tries to live another way than the Christian way, they will break. Always. Well, many are telling me now, well, you know, the Christian way isn't natural. You won't even fit in. They'll say that you've lost your mind. Well, I want to lose my mind. It was a filthy, nasty thing anyway. I want to have the mind of Christ. Well, I say to these people, okay, if loving my God is crazy, then move over bedbugs. What they say, you're crazy as a bed bug, isn't that right? And then some argue the Bible says it's unnatural. Well, it does. Ephesians 2 and 3, we're by nature the children of wrath, but there is a closer interpretation. We obey the passions of our flesh. We were objects of God's anger by nature like the rest of men. When we fall into those things, we are the same as those that aren't saved. Now, I know sometimes when I minister, it causes a little riling up because that's Adam is still alive on the inside. He's opened the casket up and he's peeking up over the edge. Well, the only way pastor should minister is that Adam is capped. How many are hearing this? That we don't have to follow after the flesh, but follow after the Spirit. And that really is the natural way. And because we choose to live wrongly, then God is naturally against us. AIDS. You remember some time back, oh, I think it was a year ago now, I said, they put the cap on AIDS, and they said, well, no, it's all right. And the guards, they had these masks over their face, and people were afraid to go in cafes, and they're afraid to go to where hairdressers had homosexual activities going on and so on like that. And there would have been a great panic. So they capped it. Said there's some kind of a cure, but they ordered it just right so it wasn't really all the way for sure. There's no cure. It is a curse. I said that about a year ago, and now it's coming about. There is a 2-year incubation period. So someone could be sitting with this and not even know it. Now, is it all right not to tell people that's not the way to go? When it could affect the whole country? Oh, hey. There will be pestilences and famine and disease like we have never seen before. And I believe by the end of this year, middle of the next, you are going to see the homosexual community in great woe. It's all because they have not gone the way, and we haven't told them the way either a lot of times. Well, is that natural? Is it natural for parents to have sex with their children? I know that happens. And I know the author of that is the devil. But don't you see that by not going the way, and they're saying that our way is not natural, how unnatural they look and how unnatural they are. Now, even now, they're saying 21. Go back to 21 with the drinking thing. Why? Because we're in trouble all across this land. Russia's in trouble. With alcoholism. And again, we don't dare print things and we don't dare tell things because it would give another country the edge on us. We are in trouble. We need to get on the way, and Christians, we need to get on the way all the way and show people the way. Don't compromise your message. And I also tell you this, thus saith the Lord too, that drugs and new drugs are going to come like we have never seen before. So where are we? We have got to get on the way, all the way, and here's a good word, repent and get on the way. See, there are first things first. While we're into busy, into learning and always learning and never coming to know Jesus. And oh, we're going to be learning. When the Lord comes, he'll probably have to interrupt one of our studies because we're not busy doing the Lord's work. And there's a whole lot of nonsense going on right now, arguing and debating over nothing. We have a world out there right now that's not on the way. We're aborting all of God's creation, bottling it up, washing our hair with it, making ourselves look younger. I'll tell you, that is not the way. And in the end time, when we start to preach, repent, it's going to be what kind of a weird message is that? Because we're not into that. We're not into repenting. See, when we're born again, we have the spirit of repentance. We're repenting all the time. How many are hearing this? We need to have that spirit of repentance so that all the time we're coming on with all these things that are coming up. We need to be in repentance. Unbelief, repent. Untrusting, repent. So it'll be a message in the gospel message. You say, well, that's just an old-fashioned message. Hey, it's always new and it's always bright and it's always good. And so people will call you a nut when you go out and preach like that. But yet, take a look what's happening right now. John 2 and 24 and 25 says, Jesus did not commit himself unto them, for he knew what was in man. He knew that sin was in man. Sure, sin is in man. But you know what? It's unnatural. Because it depraves us. Because if it was natural, why should it deprave us? It's not natural. And I don't care who writes. I don't care about the humanist movement and all those things that are coming down now. They look good, and in fact, some of our Christianity looks so bad that the humanist movement looks good. They're doing more than the church. And so naturally, it looks good to the untrained, to those that aren't born again. But it could ruin or spoil us if we weren't good to start with. Say amen, somebody. Oh, we're in a heavy time. I'll tell you, if you come here, you won't hear little light, flowered up messages, because we're going to be dealing with the devil here. They're going to give him his walking papers every time you come here. They're just going to get, hey, let my people free. Come on. In Acts 26, verse 14, and when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But arise and stand on your feet, for this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear unto you. Arise and stand upon your feet. Hallelujah. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only, and hear it now, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you. Jesus is going to appear to the church also. Jesus is appearing to the church right now and saying, go out into the whole of the world, to the highways and the byways, and minister unto all creation. Leave your little shell of doctrines and go out there and minister the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a joy it brings us when we do what God tells us to do. When we go out and do good, you feel good. Now, that's a simple message. You could all go home if you could receive that without a lot of ministering. You could say, do good, you'll feel good. Good day. It's the truth, though, isn't it? Don't the world, they have a lot of little sayings. Play with fire, you'll get burnt. And they don't go into it. All right, Romans 8, 1 and 2, and this is beautiful. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. We're free. We're free not to sin. We're free not to worry. We're free not to doubt. Before we had the doubt, well, I mean, we didn't have the Spirit of the Lord. We're free. We don't have to keep those things. We don't have to keep fear. We don't have to keep doubt. We don't have to keep all of this miserable makeup. We are free, so therefore we don't have to do these things. Well, you say, and people are saying, is sin against life? Yes, it is against life. Look at the world. Don't you believe that sin is anti-life? Don't you think we ought to deal with sin? See, we're avoiding the issue. We're getting over into here and we're getting into, you know, colossal meetings of bend your mind, revelation of what God is going to give you in the way of personal junk. And the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, and then people say, why don't you finish that? And then all these things will be added on to you. Hey, after you've sought the kingdom of God, the rest of that stuff will look like junk. Once you find the kingdom of God, God will add on to you that which your heart's desire will be for souls, for a freedom in your own mind and in your own heart and in your own spirit when you're really, really, truly happy. And you're so happy that you're lifted. Would something outside of being happy on the inside make you happier? That'd just give you something to worry about. See, because like I said, sin is anti-life, and it's people trying to live against life and get away with it. Don't our children do that? They live against life and try to get away with it. You do that when your mother says, make your bed, and then for about 2 weeks you didn't want to make your bed, so you just slept on top? Was that living? No, you froze to death. That was a bed too short and covers too narrow. Right? Now, how many have done that? But that's the way it is when we get into sin. And sin is a lot of things. We're into it all the time. It's unbelief. God gives us a word here. We don't want to get into the word. We want to sleep on top of it. I said sleep on top of it. Now you got to cover yourself. We have to start to obey God like a... He's our parent, isn't he? Colossians 1 and 21, your heart's hostile to him in doing evil. And in evil doing, it says. But that's not the natural thing, is it? But through our attitudes and through our habits and through our choices, that's what we do. And then Ephesians 1 and 4 says to be consecrated and unblemished in his sight. If evil were natural, why should it blemish? Whew. Evil, and this is another little simple, evil is always evil. Well, anybody, no, we don't all know that. Sometimes we say, well, that's not so bad. No. Evil is always evil. And when you try to do that, you end up looking very unnatural. Well, then I've had people come into my office and you say, you know what, I sin, but it doesn't bother me. I sin and I still have peace. Yeah, but how many other lives are you wrecking in the process? I sin and I still have assurance. I'll tell you something, these people are being lied to. And then I ask them the question, well, yeah, that's true, but then why are you so miserable? I say, it's like you're trying to row a boat out of water or climb a ladder with no rungs or like a train with no tracks. It is impossible living without Jesus. It cannot be done. Everything that is unchristian is unnatural. Again, take a look at the world situation. Isn't that unnatural? Men with men, women with women, adults with children. Is that not unnatural? Now, Jesus is showing us the difference here between the two. The natural and the unnatural. And then they had this song here. I do know what comes naturally, huh? I think the demons sing that. Now, don't fight life. Yield to it and let it possess you. What is life? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, let him possess you. Are you talking possession? You better believe it. total, if Jesus doesn't possess you, something else possesses you. If you let Jesus have half of you, then half of you, Adam and the devil have. You can't serve two masters. You either love one and hate the other. And so you're going to have a half a natural face, a half a natural walk, unbalanced, one leg longer than the other, so you limp. Huh? Unnatural. And we all know when we're not natural in the Lord. All of us do, because we don't have that good feeling. But yet we fall for it. Day after day, week after week, we fall for the unnatural, over the natural, the Christian way. And how is anybody going to be persuaded if we're not in the way, all the way? Let Jesus possess you. Hallelujah. Romans 7 and 24. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Oh, I thought that so many times, and here it is. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on the one hand, I myself with my mind been serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. It's a battle. Romans 8 and 13 says, for if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. Well, have you ever seen somebody coming in, they look like death warmed over? There's a lot of Christians into that, aren't we? For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die, but if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. How do you put to death a deed? Well, you don't do it and it dies. If you do it, it lives. That's right. You give the demon spiritual forces power, it lives. And they dance around you. We live, da-da-da-dee-dee-doo-dee-doo-dee-doo-dee-doo-dee-doo-dee-doo, we live, and they make you miserable all day long. That's right. You make alive that which you believe in and give it life. You are a created being, created in God's image, and you create things with your believing. And if you believe an evil deed and do that deed, you bring it to life. That's why rock bands and all these things are going so, because people believe in them, bring them alive. And they're cutting themselves and they're, you know, jabbing at each other. And they hate their audiences because they're possessed. They get all done and I seen somebody throw a microphone out in the club. The music was hyped up, you know. Wow! And the microphone was going, probably hit somebody in the head out there that was most alive in drugs, that standing out there like this. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again. How many receive fear again? Well, that's okay, but recognize it right away. And don't allow it to live. Kill it right then and there. Kill it with an act of obedience and an act of faith and an act of obedience, and bring alive the Word of Christ, the living Word. Bring it alive. Make it alive. Create it. Create it in your own mind, your own heart. Create it. Come against it in the name of Jesus. But you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Woo-hoo! Whoa! And if children, listen, the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children heirs, also heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. Wonderful, glorious suffering to be with Christ. Well, it better stop pretty soon. I'm just about fed up right to here. Well, then, you know, you're suffering right now. You're suffering. Is the world not suffering right now? For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. The revealing is the sons of God, you and me and all that know Christ Jesus. What a glorious, glorious thing that's going to be. And it's not a long ways off. He's revealing his glory in you right now, if you'll allow it. Ooh. How many hearing this? Well, then, of course, people say evil is the order of the day here on earth. Well, that's the way it is. They're doing what comes naturally. People are creatures of habit, don't you know, Pastor Paul? People are accustomed to evil. People can feel natural doing unnatural things. That's the way it is. No, I still say it's unnatural. And sooner or later, it will come to a head. Today I was sitting up here, just getting my head together a little bit early in the morning at a cafe. And in popped this girl, and she had on a little French hat and a little French skirt and knit socks and high heels. And it was one of these sing-a things where they come in for happy birthday to you. Now, everybody in there thought that was natural. But then the couple had the little girl there with them, and the husband was being sang to. And I thought, I just watched, and I thought, why is his face getting so red if it's a natural thing? Why is the wife down like this, and why is the kid going like this? This isn't very natural. And why was everybody laughing with a rather hesitant laugh? Huh? Should I laugh? Ha, ha, ha. Oh. And then wait for somebody else to laugh, see? Ha, ha. There is no fun in it. Not a bit. Now, it was unnatural for the girl also, wasn't it? She was all red in her face. And she had to leave the place tripping and falling over her high heels going out of there. And I thought, oh, God, help her. Don't let her fall down out there. You know. And all I had was pity for the whole mess there. I thought, oh, God, look at all these people are miserable. I almost felt to get up on the table and administer the gospel. Now, was that fun, people? How many hearing this today? How many want to hear it today? Sometimes people don't want to hear it. They just get mad. They're mad at their husband or their wife. Oh. Isn't that right? Now, that hit somebody on the radio. I know that. Every time I get into something like that, somebody on the radio got hit. I know it. But are you living the natural way? Well, the natural way, is that the natural way to be mad at one another? Wait for something to go wrong so you can pick on one another? No, that's unnatural. Isn't it? Ooh. Well, yes, you can become used to doing the unnatural things. Fighting. Stepping out, boozing, You can get say, well, this is natural for me. Some people, you wouldn't know them if you didn't see them drunk. They'd be in their right mind and they'd be sober and you'd say, who are you? I had friends that came and asked me, what happened? They'd look at me and then they'd think, well, that, hi, Paul. Where have you been? Well, I've been to the mountain. Ooh, how many hearing this message today? Now you're really hearing it, then something's going to happen to your life. But Paul, preachers, listen, preachers, people are saying. This is just natural for people to do these things. It's natural for us to fight. We have a good knockdown every day. We don't feel good until we have one. Is that natural? Your veins popping out, your eyeballs popping out. Kids hiding in a corner over here, shaking. Is that natural? Well, it's natural to step out on your wife. Is it? Why are you hiding then in some dark corner someplace if it's so natural? When they blink the lights on and off, why do you hide and get out of there walking like this? Your shoulder. You know what? You do that, and then people will look up and say, well, what's he hiding from? And they'll look up and see who you are. Well, it's just natural to have a couple of drinks. Is it natural to see people walking around with the booze breath and their liver getting shot and shriveled up the size of a little acorn? Is that natural? And their fingernails all yellow. Is that natural? They have them old cigarette hands with their nails and everything is all yellow. God didn't make you with yellow all over you. And furthermore, if he wanted you to smoke, he would have put a chimney on top of your head. The smoke can't even get out. Is being angry natural? Is it? High blood pressure? Foaming at the mouth? You get all done and you're sick in your gut and you say, why did I say that? Well, that's just the way he is, you know. No, that's not the way he really is. It's natural for him or her to be, whoever. Is being nervous, is that natural? No, it's not. It's not, because I can remember having to tie something around my hand and bring a drink up to my face. That is not natural. No. No, it's not natural because it doesn't make us feel good. If it was natural, it would make us feel good. Being angry isn't natural, or you'd feel good. Oh, I feel good. Oh. I feel so great. Yeah, you do. I agree with that. For when there's people that are good, oh, I'm so glad you told him or her off. I'm so glad. And you feel good for about 30 seconds after you leave that place, but then you get home and you feel awful. Oh, God, you know that wasn't right. So then it's not natural, is it? Is gossiping natural? Well, everybody gets into a little bit of that, you know. It's true, they do. But it's not natural. I got into a little bit myself here last week. I think I called it constructive criticism, but it had a different stink to it than that. Not that there aren't bosses and not that there aren't things to be done, but I'll tell you right now, there are things that are not, there's things to me I know are not natural to me. I know it right away before I even open up my face. I know, because I start getting that queasy feeling inside. queasy. I mean, once in a while we get good and sick of ourselves, don't we? That's because we're not doing the natural thing. How many are hearing this? And you know, when you minister like this, we're dealing with spirits. We don't war against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness in high and heavenly places. We're dealing with spirits, and sometimes you'll feel that raising up. You know, confess your fault one another, you may be healed. And if it touches on you today, just receive it and say, you know what, that's right, that's me. I'll put my hand up every time someone gets free. I'll put them up, throw my legs out to the side of the pulpit. I don't care. But is it natural to be tense and nervous? God doesn't want us to be that way. Huh? Is it natural to want to hide? How many throughout the day sometimes would like to hide? Just go someplace and hide. Wish that you were invisible. Huh? Well, then when that happens to me, I know that's not natural. Oh, I wish I could just disappear. Oh, my. Is it natural to be judging one another? Is it natural to be into competition all the time? No, it's not natural. People are killing for certain job positions right now. They'll do anything for a job position. But when they get done and they did evil, will they feel good? No. Because there'll be somebody down below them pulling on their pants, trying to pull them off of the throne. People need Jesus Christ. People need the Bible. People need the church. People need fellowship. People need dedicated leaders that tell the truth. Why do they need them kind of dedicated leaders? To form new habits, to form new desires, and to form new goals. Well, I'll tell you something, though. Sometimes, and I've heard it many times, where women will come, God, save my husband. And they'll get the sympathy of everybody in the church. They will look like a saint. You could almost hear the rustle of their gowns when they come in. Huh? And then when the husband changes and someone gets mad enough to go over and get the man saved instead of just praying about it, actually open her mouth and offer him Christ, and the man changes and gets gloriously delivered, and he gets off of his booze and stops beating the children and sticking his tongue out at the wife and all those things she's been talk-a-praying about ever since she came to church, and her talk-a-prayer to get sympathy and love from other people by her woes. And he changes. You know what? She falls apart. She's lost her role. The husband gets up, and now she's lost her role, so down she goes. So she was in the flesh, and the husband was more in the spirit than she was. It's really the truth. When we lose our roles and we lose our little place, and the kids even fall apart sometimes. They're praying for dad, and they're praying, oh, God, yes, I want you to pray for my dad. And I'm not saying these prayers aren't good, but you have to caution the people. What would you do if you really did change? Would it be such a shock to your system? Well, of course not. What do you mean, Brother Paul? We've been praying faithfully. Oh, you don't know what sinners you are, and you've already judged your dad. And the way that you judged him, you also shall be judged yourself. And that's what it says, judge ye not, lest ye be judged. Now in the manner that you judge that man, so will you be judged. You had a bitterness and a resentment and all those things, and you covered it up with all them phony prayers. Someone went over and got him saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and now he's changed, and now your real person is coming out. It happens all the time. People get jealous of Jesus. One goes more to the Lord than the other, and they just like to pull on, come back here, and they pull on their pants and bring him back. That is not natural. and the person isn't happy, and they're headed for the wards. That's like people when they move out of the slums. And they go out into the country, they have trouble breathing. Too much of a good thing. Too much fresh air. And you go out there and say, smell that fresh air. And they're not used to deep breathing. They're going to take a little short one. Huh? They fought it that long. And you get out there and say, take a deep breath of this country air. And you go, they're used to the smell of the stink in the garbage can. Oh, my. The fresh air knocks them out. But on the other hand, the prodigal son who lived with his father and knew good and tried to live bad couldn't take it. When we know the Father and we try to live bad and try to eat and with the hogs, I mean, literally get down on our hands and knees, just like a hog, and have fellowship with hogs. Get over. Come on, move over. Huh? And try to do that, what happens? That's unnatural. How many are hearing this? Because once you have known God, you cannot do bad and feel good. You'll get homesick. You ever done bad and thought, well, I know I did bad, but I don't feel bad about doing it. What a lie. You ever tried to talk yourself in? Well, I did bad, but I don't really feel bad about it. Well, why are you so uptight? That's not natural. Even your voice betrays what you say on the voices, on the basis of the way you're shouting. See, that's an untruth and it's unnatural. I don't care how natural you try to act while you're saying it. Well, you should forgive so-and-so. I have! Hair standing on end. I'm leaving. Ever happened to you? I stand convicted. Oh, I don't know if I like you. It seems like there's a whole lot wrong with you, Pastor Paul. No, I'm just honest. Not all the way, though. I'm getting better, though. Say amen, somebody. Careful when you think you stand, lest you fall. And then we have the Christians that try to have Jesus and. Jesus and this, and Jesus and that, and Jesus and this, and Jesus and that. Sure, I love Jesus, and they're standing there with a bottle of beer in their hand. Huh? Sure, I love Jesus. What do you mean? Huh? You cannot have Jesus and. You can have Jesus only. And that's the only way you're going to be happy. No, Jesus and will not make you happy. It's another God and it's two different masters. And you'll never be happy. Never. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12. Where can I go from thy spirit? Or where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest parts of the sea, even if there thy hand will be, and thy right hand will lay hold of me. Where can you go to escape God? Nowhere. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to thee. And the night is as bright as the day. Wow. Darkness and light are alike to thee. Well, that's because God created them both, and he understands them both. Understand? God made good and God made evil, the Bible says. Whew. But I find as I minister and I go on in my ministry, there's about three attitudes. I will say three that I know of. Three attitudes towards the soul. And these attitudes are coming from people, and they say, well, the soul is naturally Christian. Then some say the soul is naturally pagan, and then some say the soul is half pagan and half Christian. And then they'll say, well, what do you say? Well, I say if it is pagan, it's off-center, but when it's a Christian, it's happy. I mean, when it's on the way Christian, it's happy and it's healthy. It has a sense of homecoming, let's say a sense of the prodigal. It has a sense of being reinstated. It has a sense of being reconciled. You ever have a day like that? Did you have a day like that last week? This is not my day. None of them are your days. Give your soul and give yourself to Jesus. That's what you got to do with your days. Because when we are saved, it's just as natural for us to be other-regarding as self-regarding. That's the problem. Therein lies the problem. We are not other-regarding. We can listen to other people's problems and we'll say, we'll pray for you. And we don't even mean that. We are self-regarding when we should be other-regarding. And the only way we're going to be happy is when we're other-regarding. Do you know when your day goes really the best? When you're other-regarding? When you're ministering to others? Because when you're self-regarding, your whole day is nasty and slap foot. I call it, flap foot. You know somebody is self-regarding. They walk, but they flap their feet. They flap them like them great big old flappers they have for clowns. But when they're other regarding, they're on their toes. Can I help you? Huh? Isn't that right? I think there's something in this. I think we're missing it. When we're self-regarding and we're always claiming and we want more stuff. Why are you doing this to me? Ooh. You're not going to get any relief. None. No, you heard me right. None. None whatsoever. None. Nope, none. I'm doing this because I'm dealing with a spirit. None. Let that spirit die of that self-regarding spirit. The Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, you know what that brings us to? Now I can love myself for loving others. You cannot love yourself until you deny yourself and love others. You can't. You get tired of hugging on yourself. Huh? Huh? I'm giving you Bible here. You cannot be happy while you're self-regarding, and that's taking care of yourself with a little jug in your pocket and a little dope and a little your fun. You are going to be unhappy. Self-indulgence does not make us happy, because we have to find others that will indulge in with us. Get an audience around us and come on, indulge in me. Sort of making yourself a god. Indulge in me. Come on over here and indulge. Feast upon me. Huh? Hey, there's nothing to eat here. Bye-bye. Huh? Isn't that the way it is? Sometimes moms get that way, don't they? And they want the kids to just indulge. Mom's got a headache. Hi, how you doing, Mom? Oh, I know I look well, but people don't know all the pains I have. Oh, God, I got arthritis, and I got back pains, and an earache, and let's see, what else do I have? I wrote them down, just a minute. Oh, yes. And they want everybody to indulge in their pains. And you know what? Nobody does. You know why? They're just like their mom. They're indulging. They're indulging in their own pains. Aren't they a pain? I know some of you on the radio hate me for preaching like this, but my God, it's the truth. You are a pain. Oh, I said it, and I'm glad. See, doing good for others makes us feel good. You can always tell when people are not doing good for others. They don't feel good. Right? How do you feel? Rotten! Are you doing any good? That's like people that are always hearing the Word of God, but they're never doing the Word of God. See, the hearing without the doing is going to be very unnatural, because when you hear something you really believe, you go out and give it away. So many of us are trying to sell ourselves to others. Hey, look at me, boy, da, 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 huh? Look at me. No thanks. I am afraid there are many miserable people. Because we are made to do good for others. And if we don't do it, we don't feel good. If we have to escape to our home, oh God, I can hardly wait to get home. The house coat goes on, huh? And those fluffy slippers go on, and you go curl up and get into the soaps. They ain't gonna feel good. Never. Self-indulgence. You've seen somebody that's, they can be working, but it's like they're there, but they're not there. Is that natural? That self-indulgence. Doesn't that look ignorant? Now, you might not like me, but hey, my God, I'm ministering here today by the Spirit. I hope someone gets free in here. I know I am. I'll get free, and some of you will just have to walk out of here bound. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in him all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. Why knock it? Why buck it? God is in charge. God is in charge. That's like trying to whip a crew into action.
Ho, ha, ha, like a cage of lions. Ho, over there. Bed packers, whap, 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 whap. Bean packers, whapple, whapple, whapple. Ah, back, back, the chair and a whip. Ooh, ah, whip, move back, move back. Would you say that was unnatural? I've learned. Sometimes I don't say too much. You know why? Because I've learned. Say amen, somebody. Either folks want to do it or they don't want to do it. Say amen. And you can just give them the natural way wanting to do it. And if they don't receive that, then they have to go the unnatural way. Say amen. Hallelujah. We could have an industrial revolution here. If we could get this down. Japan would have their tongues hanging out. They couldn't get them little Toyotas out fast enough. Huh? Oh. Ooh. If everybody was geared up. Wouldn't it be good if we were geared up to giving the gospel out and doing good for others? And when you do it, don't you feel good? Well, why don't we want to feel good? Don't we want to do things that make us feel good? When you're feeling rotten, go out and do something for somebody else. Oh, gee, I feel good. Why? You did good. You want to feel rotten? Do rotten. As you sow, so shall you reap. Colossians 3 and 4 through 6 says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead. Now listen. As dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. In other words, witchcraft. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. Ooh. Glory to God. Why they say, is my will and God's will strangers? Jesus. I believe this. There is something in Christ that is native to our blood. He is the author of our blood. And when he controls us, we are on course and we're calm. Creative. Contributive. You're able to contribute something. Now, isn't that right? When you get up in the morning, you should say to yourself, or God, let God speak to you. What are you going to contribute today? What will you contribute to the kingdom of God today? You contribute. Now, don't start praying for things. I want to ask you this question. What will you contribute? Will you make a contribution to this sad and sick and sorry world? Will you become involved in other people's problems and deny yourself in your own little problems? What are you going to contribute? Sometimes we contribute ourselves and our personalities. Huh? And we put on the face and we get out there. Morning. Hi. Morning. Hi. Huh? What a contribution. It's like our high and what we're doing is, it's done in the wrong attitude. And I'll tell you something, it isn't doing a bit of good. It's not done in the right spirit. Go home, lock yourself in a closet. You're contaminated. How many done it this week? I did. I did it for 30 seconds and caught myself, and then about a minute later, I was into the same thing again. And I just went in my office, and I locked myself in the office. Now, you just sit in here until you get right with God. My flesh started talking. I said, shut up. Started making up excuses for my behavior, and I had to again say, shut up. Then I wanted to get into a little bit of self-pity, and I had to say, I went off in that little trip for about a minute and a half. And I got back into it again. Oh, yeah. That's true. And I started talking to this spirit again, you understand? It took a minute and a half because I started getting something sour in my gut. And I thought, uh-oh, this is not the way. Let me out of here. I got to get out and do something good for somebody. What do you do good, Pastor Paul? Seems like you just had a whole week of dealing with yourself. Well, 30 seconds at a time, hey, minute and a half. I went on a run for maybe 2 minutes, Forgive. So many times we're so afraid of someone finding out. They already know. Isn't that right? It's like all the jive that goes on. Hey, how's it going? Right? Is this jive? How's it going? Give me five. Hey, later. That means get lost. Later. Right? I always challenge people. What can you contribute today? Can you give us 5 minutes and go on over there and pack up some of this bread? How about some beans? Want to get into them beans back there? No, but I haven't got time. 5 minutes, 5 minutes. Do it, do it, do it. And they feel so good. They're back there like a half hour. Right? They have contributed something. That's why everybody's so miserable now. Everybody's on unemployment, general assistance. What's that mean, general assistance? Generally, you starve to death. And they're all miserable, walking around looking for something to do, or trying to walk around trying to act like they're doing something, or trying to walk around hiding from something to do. And they need somebody that's on the way to say, woo-hoo, over here. On the way. You're off the way again. On the way. I guess that's me. I guess the reason I understand people is because I've come to understand myself a little bit. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't do anything. See, when He controls us, like I said, we are not on the rocks of resentment. You know what the rocks of resentment are? I was trying to get comfortable on a pile of rocks. You're sitting down. Do you ever sit down there and try to fish and you're on a pile of rocks trying to get comfortable? The rocks of resentment. Oh my God, we hold a lot of resentments all the time, don't we? And they'll pop up every once in a while, but don't hold them more than 30 seconds. Those are spirits. John 15:11 says, I have told you this, that my joy may be within you and your joy complete. Notice it says, when His joy is within us, we're complete. For His joy, I believe, and our joy are the very same. Abba, Father. When we accept His joy and take it, then it becomes our very own joy, that which you receive. Receive the joy of Jesus. Now you have His joy. Now you have strength. And then every other joy makes us dissatisfied. Oh, I thought I'd be so happy if some money would just roll in. And so some rolled in. And I thought, oh, that's real nice. That's beautiful. And I praise the Lord for it and everything, but God would not allow me to look at this money. I looked over here. I looked over there, and I thought, well, why ain't all happy? All this money came in. The Lord reminded me. My joy is your joy. Don't get looking over here at this rolled in. I might cause it to roll out again. And you better believe that made me turn my eyes upon Jesus. Understand what I just said there? It's only, $1 billion could come this way and it would be good and I would be used for the glory of God, but nothing satisfies but Jesus. Nothing. It just becomes unnatural for something else to satisfy us. Isn't it right? Friends, oh, so many times we place so much trust in, oh, this friend of mine, I don't know what I'd do without this friend. And they let us down. And that's nice to have nice friends and everything, but if they get to be your source, they're gone. They are gone. Every other joy makes us unfulfilled. Nothing fills me up by nothing fills me up but just getting in communion with God. Every other joy makes us incomplete. And then we try to run after some friends. Friend, 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 come back, friend. And you're holding on to them back here, see? Huh? And they're kicking on you. Don't run after them. Let them go. Look on to Jesus. How many have done that? Chase after friends. Friend, I haven't heard from you lately. What's happening, friend? So I'd give you a ring. Well, sure. Real good. Yeah, I've been meaning to call you, but look, I'm busy right now. Baby's crying, and they give the kid a kick. Wah! Huh? No, I'm afraid I'm like a ship without a rudder. Because the Christian way conforms to nature, God's nature. Nothing else can make it for me. Nothing, nothing, nothing. No radio audience. I hope you're hearing this today. Nothing can do it. How many are hearing the message today? I'm closing it up now. God, feed on it. Oh, goodness. Psalm 119:37-38. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in thy ways. Establish thy word to thy servant as that which produces reverence for thee. Psalm 119 and 103rd verse. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And from thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every other false way. I hate every other way. There is a way that seems right on a man, but the end therein is death. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And then Psalm 119 and 130th verse. The unfolding of thy words gives light. Have you ever had God's word unfold right before you? See, you read the Word of God, but then it unfolds. It's like a road map. You get the road map, and it's all folded up, right? Like, and you can never fold them again, it seems like. You try to fold them, and they're all messed up, you know. But anyway, getting back to what I'm supposed to be getting on. You open this map up, and you unfold it. And as you unfold it, you get directions. And it's just like reading the Word of God. It unfolds. What you're hearing here today will unfold for you, because you'll have to live it. And as you live it, and as you like drive down that road and have that experience by going by that road map, then you'll know the different turns and the different twists and the different mountains and the different valleys in your own lives. So it will be with you spiritually, the same way the Word of God unfolds. You might not understand it all in one day, no, of course not, but it'll unfold. And you'll have trials to understand it, and valleys and mountain things where you'll boil over. And you'll go into different places where you'll freeze. But there's an unfolding. It's a wonderful road. It's called the way. It's called the way, hallelujah. It's called the way, on the way again. Huh? It's called the way. It's a road that's exciting. It's a road that unfolds as you take the directions from the road map, the road map of life, the Bible, hallelujah, that unfolds segment by segment, precept upon precept, word upon word, revelation upon revelation. And you look at all those glorious mountains when you're driving down their roads. Woo! Take a picture of this one, Jan. And take a picture of that one, and take a picture of that one, and this. I didn't know there was so much beauty and glory. But there's a trial to it. There's a preparation to going on that journey. We had to get all of our suitcases ready and prepare and get ready. We didn't understand what was going to happen, but we just took off and drove 1 mile at a time, sweet Jesus. And it's the same way in our roadmap that God gives us right here, one step at a time. What a wonderful trip it is when we look back. Most of the trip is enjoyed after you've gone through it and you show the pictures. And you look and you say, remember that? Wasn't that beautiful? Half the time on the trip you were fighting with each other and the kids, shut up that guy. But there were good times too. Right? I'm never going to go on a trip again. This is the last time. Then you look at the pictures and you say, let's go on another trip. Wasn't that a trip? Remember we got, and the hard times is what you remember. And remember how we got out of that thing? We ran out of gas and this guy came along and we prayed about it and so on. And it's the same way in our walk. Exactly the same way. It is a trip. It says we're sojourners. We're just journeying through. This is a trip. Well, the world says that, but they're on a different kind of trip, aren't they? To get tripped up. We're on a trip. Do you want to have fun on your trip? Follow the road map. Stop when you're supposed to gas up. So many miles, stop, pull over, eat. Get the Word of God inside. Gas up, fuel up, charge your batteries, get your generators going. Have the mechanic check it out, the preacher. Have the discerning preacher check you out, see where if you're in shape to go on. Confess your faults. Say, this thing ain't running right. Oh, this thing is off a little bit here. Huh? This leg ain't working right. It ain't doing nothing for the Lord. These eyes is looking off this way. It's going to run a collision course. But don't you see it's a trip? And if you set out right, you're going to end up right. Hallelujah, you just start out right. You pray before you start out. Oh, well, it's another day. Let's start this day out with prayer. Let's fuel up. Hit them up, roll them out, ride, huh? How many are hearing this? And, oh, I know, some on the radio find something wrong with that. He's saying rawhide in the middle of his message. Oh, shut up. Shut up, I'm making a point. Care if you like it or not, I'm getting through. You know why I'm getting through? Because you're getting mad at what I'm saying. That's how I know I'm getting through to you. You too on the teep ministry, I know it. Right? Don't your kids get mad when you get through to them? And they go in there, they flap their old feet going in to do the room. Okay! Huh? Now, I've told you the last time. In the room. Oh, woo-hoo! But the bed is made. Now let me close it up here. We were made for God, and we fit together. Matthew 4:4 says, man lives on every word that issues forth from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. It's like food. We survive. We need every word from God. Not a word from man, but a word from God himself. Every, it says, there is no exceptions. Jesus said in John 4:34, the will of God is food. It fed him. Anything else is poison. It will leave you nervous, frustrated, wandering around, sick and empty. Let me say it one more time. To be good is good for you. It's good for your soul, and it's good for your mind, and it's good for your body. Do it even if you have to clench your teeth. And God has us, I'll tell you that. If we don't love others, you cannot get along with yourself or others. Because to think of others is really natural. That's what we were made for, in God's image, to think of others. Oh, there's a flesh working on, don't want it to. But when you totally think of others, deny yourself. Right in the middle of a great big trial, and you go do something for somebody else in the middle of your big trial. Well, not only do you forget about your trial, and it gives you release in your mind, when you do something for somebody else, God takes care of you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and I'll add this peace, and I'll add this thing onto you. See the rewards for doing good? Why balk at it? Are you hearing it? Can I read a couple more pieces of scripture? How many got 5 more minutes? Wasn't a great show of hands. It was encouraging, though. I seen 2 hands go up. Praise God. Where 2 or 3 are gathered together. How many can wait for 2 more scriptures? Amen. Oh, that's better. Thank you. Chapter 4 of John and the 13th and 14th verse. And Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him, a well of water springing up to eternal life. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And then, in Galatians 5:13 and down to 17. For you were called to freedom. Brethren, not only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Don't use your freedom as an opportunity to the flesh. Are you hearing this? You were called to freedom, brethren. Now listen, hon. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another, and then you're going to be happy. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition one to another. Now listen. So that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then it goes on to tell the deeds of the flesh, immorality and all these other things. But I won't go into that all today. I'll just read another piece of scripture and close it. John 15 and 6. If anyone does not remain in me, then life throws him aside. You know how you know when you're outside of Jesus? You start to stink. Stink. Well, here it is. If anyone does not remain in me, then life throws you aside. Now you're in death and you'll start to decay. Anybody stink this week? You don't fit if you have hate and resentments. If you're selfish and self-centered, fearful, you can't be used. You wither up. But if you remain, I've said here today, in him, you can be used. Ephesians 5 and 17 says that, do not be senseless, but understand what is the Lord's will. If you know God's will, you will have sense. If you do not know God's will, you will have no sense. Say amen, somebody. Oh, here, I'll encourage you. I'm going to give you one more piece of scripture here. My God, I got to do it. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. One more piece of scripture here. Hey. Overfeed. Ephesians, now listen. Psalm 51 and 7. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Whew. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence, and do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Isn't that word precious? I know that touched people. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted to thee. When we're willing to change, then God will fill us when we're willing to change, when we confess these faults, when we have a hoedown. You know what a hoedown is? When you take the hoe and you hoe it down. Now, I know there's other hoedowns they have, but I'm talking about a religious, I'm talking about a spiritual hoedown. When you have a hoedown, you get in there with a hoe and you hoe this dirt up and you plow some furrows and you plant new seed. Let's plant new seed today. Of doing good to feel good. Simple. Praise the Lord. And the peace will be yours, and you'll have the times when you'll slip off the way and you'll... But you'll know it if you're asking God, now when I slip off the way, let me know about it. And he will right away. He will. Sometimes he'll even irritate you. I know it. I did forgive. I did. I will. But recognize those things. That's all we have to do is recognize them. Now, is there anyone in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? You can have them today. Anyone that doesn't have him as their personal Savior. Did I see a hand go up someplace? Someone? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, we got the remedy. When we're not feeling good, we know why today. I sure found out a lot of times last week. Anyone here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Do you have Jesus as your personal Savior? Do you, sir? Are you born again? You're born again? How about you, sir? Are you born again? Do you want me to pray with you? If you don't know for sure, it takes 30 seconds. I'll pray with you right through. Would you like me to pray with you? What do you got to lose? Sure, let me pray with you. Nothing to lose and everything to gain. Hallelujah. Hi, guys. Did I lead you to the Lord yet? Did I lead you to the Lord? Did I lead you to the Lord? Okay. Let's all pray here to make sure. Okay. We can just put our hands together here, okay? And pray after me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. Okay, will you just repeat that and say, Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Deliver me of all my sins and baptize me in God's Holy Spirit. Amen. Cabra bizne koshna se ka wolo hondra entri pela handro jizne se ke wupolo hondra itne shesne ke wu. Let it be done this day, saith the Lord. So be it. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Where are you fellows from?
Mexico.
From Mexico? Are you working up here?
Yeah.
Are you citizens now?
Yeah.
Oh, good, good. Good. Do you know these fellows? No? Okay. Okay, well, it's nice to... First time? Do you live around here?
Yeah.
Okay, are you working?
Yeah, I work.
Are you working too? No, not yet, huh? No? Okay. Well, you know,
he's in school now.
In school? Oh, he's in school. Okay. Well, what do you say? No comprehendo? Something like that? Come. But anyway, you guys come on down here and we can be a help to you with groceries, some food. Come in here Monday morning about 11 o'clock. I got food and clothing here, be able to help to you. But we'll get you involved. We'll get you on the way. Okay? Amen. You're welcome. God bless you. Let's hear it for these guys. Isn't that wonderful? All the way.